All right. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday, August 3rd, 2019. Beautiful day. Wonderful to have in studio the man, the myth, the legend, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin. How you doing, Woody?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me, as always.
And then we're gonna talk about the tournament that we just had for the 40th anniversary. But before we get to that later on in the show, just a little update. What's going on at the shop? Anything good going on? I know you're busy as hell.
It's been a busy summer, but we got a lot of exciting stuff going on. You know, Titleist has a whole new line of irons, three different models, or actually five different models, hybrids. Mizuno's got a new MP20 line. And we're just doing some testing on that stuff. Hopefully we'll be doing fittings for it, you know, really, really soon. TaylorMade's going to have a new iron probably in a couple of weeks. So there's a lot going on from a new product standpoint that, you know, we got to do some testing and, you know, people are excited about. We want to make sure that we're able to, you know, give them the best advice that we can when they come in looking for that stuff.
If you don't mind, just talk a little bit about that. How important is the testing that you do for your own benefit? What does that entail? What are you guys looking for? Take us through that a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, testing is a couple different ways. From a simple way of just, you know, weighing the head weights, checking the lofts, checking the lies to make sure that they are what the manufacturer spec says they are, and then the hitting of the golf clubs, you know, testing whether I've got myself, Ono, or Sonny, or Kirk, or Ray, or all different guys hitting the clubs, and you know your numbers, you know what you do with your game or set of golf clubs, so you need to compare those to these, then you go over the science of the golf club. Why they did what. Normally there's a conversation with the engineers. That's hard to do this time of year. I did have one engineer come in and talk to me about his product a month ago or so about what's going to come out. I can't talk about that just yet.
Top secret.
So all combined so that when you come in, you know, you can't be trying just blindly. Oh, let me try this. Let me try that. It's got to be from a standpoint. Oh, look, he's high launch and low, and he needs more spin or he needs more launch. He's hitting the ball more on the toe, more on the heel. So we know what product to go to right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these in-season launches are the hardest ones for us because we're so busy. When we get, you know, off-season launches, we have tons of time, and we've got the PGA show to talk to them. So these in-season launches are the hardest ones.
How often do the in-season launches go? Do they happen?
Titleist tends to launch their stuff in the fall. This is the first time they're launching this stuff in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So they're launching this stuff probably 2 months earlier than they normally would. So it's the first time for them.
Mizuno's done it before.
Mm-hmm. TaylorMade's done it again more later in it toward the season. Callaway, every once in a while, you never know what they're going to do. They might have something new, you know, tomorrow. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps us on our toes.
Sure. Is it as simple as when they do an in season? Is it as simple as just wanting to get a leg up
I think it's, you know,
no?
every company's always trying to find the best life cycle time, so they're always experimenting. Sometimes you might come up with something really good and you say, hey, we can produce this, and it takes you seeing the new, let's say, Titleist iron, right? So you're going to see that new Titleist iron in the stores in 2 weeks, right? They started production on it probably 6-8 months ago.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, sometimes these things can be moved up. So, like, for example, I think Titleist's original plan was to launch that club in probably November.
Right.
Because of whatever reasons, they were able to get it launched early.
Right.
So, and I think that's a good thing, quite honestly, but wasn't their original plan.
Mm-hmm.
So things can jump back and forth. Every company has their own rules as to, you know, what they're trying to do, whether it's once a year, every other year, a year and a half. They have their own life cycles that they're trying to plan.
Who's the most consistent in terms of they don't really alter their their release dates or their product cycles very, you know, they don't change it up very often. They're consistent.
I don't think anybody's consistent.
Really?
Yeah, because they're not going to, you know, the other thing is they're not going to tell you that or your plans. Hey, we're going to have this club. It's going to be obsolete. You know, I guess Mizuno, it gives us every 2 years, they're changing their model. So, you know, the MP18 was out for 2 years. The MP20 just coming out. It's going to be 2 years. The 919 came out last year. It'll run. This time next year, they'll change it. So,
right.
They're pretty consistent. Ping's pretty consistent. Year and a half life cycles. And Tylos is pretty consistent. TaylorMade new ownership seems to be pretty consistent. But, you know, again, things can change.
Sure. Well, you mentioned Mizuno, and looking forward to talking to tour manager for Mizuno, Jeff Cook. But we're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Woody. And on the line is tour manager for Mizuno, Jeff Cook. Jeff, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. I want to, before we get to your roles and responsibilities as the tour manager for Mizuno, talk a little bit about your start in golf. I know you played a little professionally, and maybe just give us a little background to your life before Mizuno.
Yeah, my life before Mizuno was really just playing professionally kind of around the world, really, playing on the Asian Tour to beginning when the concept of the Ben Hogan Tour, now the Korn Ferry Tour, started, and then playing some on the PGA Tour. So I just played most of my life, you know, all through college and junior golf and all that, and then I was a long-time Mizuno user before I went to work for Mizuno. It's funny, my prior boss, that was a good friend of mine, ran Mizuno, and we played together, and over years of before I worked for Mizuno, he always used to hit my clubs. He'd say, these Mizunos feel really good. So that's how it kind of started. You know, eventually when I kind of phased out of playing, and then he asked me to take over the tour, and that's really where the whole thing started.
Tell us a little bit of like what's life on tour like for you? Like, what's your regular standard, like, average week?
A normal week would be I fly out Sunday night, could be Monday morning, just depends on, you know, the availability to get someplace, you know, how proximity. And then there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then usually fly back Wednesday evening. And we're just on site, got the tour van there. And we're just there to take care of the players, not only our players, but any player that's looking to try a product. Could be a, you know, long iron. And that's really it, really. And then just, you know, with the new introduction of our new line, now we've got a lot going on building clubs for guys that want to try all the new stuff. So every week is different. It just depends. There's no really, there's now and then I know beforehand maybe we're going to do a test. Or a follow-up test, or, you know, it depends on what it is. But for the most part, it's just kind of go with what comes in front of you when you get on site.
I think that the average guy would be curious, like, how does it work? Like, does a guy walk into your van and say, hey, I want to try this? Are you out on the range hawking your stuff? And how does the process go for you guys when you do have someone that wants to try something?
All varieties happen. I mean, from a guy walking into the tour van that I had no clue wanted to try something, maybe he saw somebody else's bag. You know, these guys all sit around after we leave on Wednesday and look at other bags and talk to other players,
Sure. Just
like you'd expect.
Yeah.
So, and then it might happen just me in the locker room. You know, I might be walking through the locker room and a guy says, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And then it also on the range. So So it really happens all different. Or a guy might just randomly text me and just say, hey, I saw so-and-so's clubs. Love to look at them next week. So it happens all different ways.
So you have to be prepared. I'm just curious in terms of the logistics of organizing your calendar year, knowing that you're never going to know what is going to happen on a week-to-week basis in terms of people coming in, you know, not necessarily off the street, but you know what I'm saying, off the range. How do you organize the logistics? How does that work when you plan out your year in advance?
I already have, the new schedule for next year came out about a week ago.
Yeah.
So I look at that and kind of know where most our guys are going to go. Mm-hmm. The bigger tournaments, I do know the West Coast, obviously, the beginning of the year is always the busiest, along with then you throw in Florida. Mm-hmm. Once you get to the summer months, things kind of calm down a little bit. But I kind of know where we're going to go. We're always going to go to the West Coast at the beginning of the year. And we're going to go to Florida since it's still really the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And then in between there, I kind of see where our guys are going to play, knowing the field. And then, we also go to a few of the Corn Ferry Tour events.
Okay.
So I've got to tie that in, look at all different weeks. And, so it's a little, and some of it's moving and shaking on the go. I mean, we might be set to go one event. And then a week or two before, we find out so many guys have decided not to play, they change their minds too.
Right.
And then we might just mix it up and go somewhere else.
Give us a really cool story. Something happened on the tour with that. I'm sure you got to have a lot of great stories.
Well, there's a lot of great stories.
One that you could tell us. Exactly. One that you could tell us.
What you could tell us. There's so many, just it's hard to explain which one would be, there's a lot of them. There's funny ones. I could use, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
He's very, been using our products now for a few years, ever since the Nike and, we don't have any name or likeness with him, but he's just using the clubs because he tests them and liked them better than everything else. But, mm-hmm. He doesn't do much with clubs. And, he's kind of funny about one time we put the grips on the way he wanted them. And the next time, I had to mention to him, we haven't changed the grips in a while. And they were on the other upside down. And my technician said, well, I didn't put these on. Somebody else did these since the last time. And so I went back to Brooks and I said, hey, which way do you want the grips? And he says, I don't care, just as long as they're on there. I mean, so, he's on the far side of that.
Right. Yeah.
Where as long as they're on there, it doesn't matter. Most of the guys would be really nitpicky.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't seem to be. I mean, he's the kind of guy that obviously he's pretty well documented. He only shows up 45 minutes before his tee time. He's, he seems to be able to, at least at this point in his career, turn it on when he needs to turn it on. And so he's, so he's got something figured out. Hopefully that continues. But then, like you just alluded to, who is the most hands-on of players on staff?
Hands-on, Keith Mitchell is very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Donald, we've had him ever since college. That's been a long-standing relationship. Luke's very particular. Those two are very particular on the grip, the swing weight, the overall weight of the club. I mean, Keith Mitchell, for a young guy, is very has a very good sense of everything about a golf club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've done it enough to where he can actually feel the difference between a half swing weight, which the average person playing golf might not get the difference between two swing weights, more likely.
Right.
And he has done it. He has said, hey, this feels just a little off, heavier or lighter, and we'll check it. It's like, there you go. So, not that we're trying to build anything off, but, you know, that now and then when you're trying something, you know, you put a different grip on, you know, you can get a half, you, that can change the half swing weight. So then we have to go back and find the perfect grip to get that back right.
When you get a player, let's say it's like, for example, that Luke Donald comes in and you fit him up for the new MP20 irons. How many sets are you building him? Just one? Are you building him two or three sets? You know, you often hear where a guy's always lost his clubs and he didn't have a backup set, or he did have a backup set. What's your standard mode of operation?
My standard would be we're going to build everybody one set, and really we don't have a backup set. The backup set would be everything Luke Donald uses would be on our tour van. So, you know, we have a set of shafts, set of grips that he uses, a set of heads, obviously. So they're all in the van, and if something happens, he would either call me, text me, and say it's lost or something happened, you know, a five iron broke or whatever it may be. And the van is always with my technician, Kyle Hammond. So wherever Kyle's at, it could be at home, could be on the road, he always has the van with him, so it's not a big deal for us to. And then I have the office too, you know, on an emergency, I can also get somebody at the office to help in manufacturing. So, but usually it's just one set. We've never really. You see more guys having two of something on a putter or a driver.
Right. My guest is the tour manager for Mizuno Golf, Jeff Cook. Jeff, you mentioned the new Mizuno MP20s. Danny Lee threw them right in a bag. What can you tell us about that product?
Well, it's, you know, the MP20s replaced an MP18, and so far the reviews on it have been fantastic. Everybody that's hit it cannot believe the feel of it. Luke Donald did some testing, preliminary testing last week, which all these guys have hit this club, which they forget. They all hit this a variation of this club or with the copper in it over a year ago, because when we start the process, it was the concept was from our R&D team was they called me up and said, what do you think about copper in the face? And I said, well, it's going to feel softer than our current metal. I mean, it's going to help it feel softer.
Right.
And I'm old enough to know this, for one, because I used TN87s back when I played that had copper inlay on them from Japan only. So okay. we started the process. We took out a couple blank heads, one with copper, one with not, and 12 straight guys all picked the copper. And they didn't know they picked it, but that's how we started the process. So since the club's come out and guys hit it, you know, it really, they love the shape. It's going to be a big hit on tour. We've already probably built, you know, 7-8 sets, and Danny Lee put them in. You know, I never recommend that. You know, it's great that he put them in, but I like a guy to go home, play some rounds with him, you know, hit a lot of balls, play different conditions. But he loved them so much, he said, heck, I'm just sticking them in.
That's
saying something.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. How often do you do that, or as far as like testing new stuff? So, like, you know, is that something that they have you doing on a regular basis?
Oh yeah, we're constantly testing and getting feedback. I mean, you know, right now we're working on MP clubs that are going to replace these.
You're right.
Years. So that's already, the wheels are already going on that one. So you know, the JPX line that will replace the current 919 line next year, that's been done for a while. So we're working, you know, over a year out, year and a half out, and at least with the concepts, the testing, you know, we might test several times. It just depends on the product and what's being replaced. But all the clubs are being tested internally and also with players.
Do you enjoy that? That must be a great part of the job, trying it to, you know, with all these different new stuff and giving the feedback.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things, really, to be honest with you, because I love seeing a concept or us discussing a concept, and then you get samples in, and then everybody tests it and give their feedback, and then usually I do all my testing here at home. I live in Indianapolis, so I'll take my TrackMan out. I like to test several times, first once. So I'll go out and test, hit the clubs, take notes, and then maybe I'll retest the following week. And I love doing it. I think it's probably one of my funnest things of the job.
Was that in your DNA when you were a player? Were you a tinkerer when you were playing?
I was not. I kind of
interesting.
Always loved looking at clubs, and kind of knew what I liked from my eye. Of course, back when I was playing, it's different. You know, clubs have changed quite a bit. But I was like a thin top line, a small blade. But you know, as you get older, and you know, they make clubs today that still look really playable, but have more forgiveness. That's never bad. And you know, you see today's long irons. I think it's just the changing of golf over years ago. But you know, most tour players, their longest iron is a 4-iron anymore.
Right.
You know, I can remember back in the day, I still have 1-irons I used. 1 and 2-irons.
I think then. We all do. Collecting dust in a closet someplace.
Yes, they are. And now when a guy has a 2-iron, it's not a true 2-iron, which right. It's or a 3-iron. It's usually, you know, and not a way oversized club, but a more game-helping club.
Well, if he has a 2-iron, it's because he's playing the Open Championship. That's about the only reason why he would have it. It seems
exactly.
Like.
I mean, that's the only reason these guys get it. They get it for if they play a course that maybe they think they're going to hit 2-irons and they want to chase it down the fairway. That doesn't have to be the British Open. It could be a normal course here, but that's really about all a 2-iron, 1-iron, or 3-iron for the most part for these guys because they hit it so far.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys are hitting 4-irons from 230, 240, so they don't really need, 3 or 4-irons, not or 3 and 2-irons, not much worth to them other than driving off the tee.
Yeah, and they're hitting them sky high, and they're landing them soft, and it's amazing to watch. Well, Jeff, I can't thank you enough for carving out a piece of your time this morning for joining us. We really appreciate the insights to what it's like being to organize this kind of endeavor, dealing with all the equipment and the players and the personalities. It's very insightful, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a good rest of the day, and hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. All right,
thanks.
You
Bye-bye.
Got it. That was the tour manager for Mizuno Golf, Jeff Cook. We're going to be back in a short minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Malvies Equipment Company is the oldest distributor of power equipment on Long Island and has been serving the community for over 100 years. We have 2 locations for your convenience in Riverhead and Hicksville. Malvies Equipment offers a diversified line of quality products for golf, sports, and turf, including Jacobson, Redexim, Vertidrain, Smithco, and Turfco. We also carry Mahindra and New Holland tractors and construction equipment. Visit our website at malvisequipment.com or call us at 516-681-7600.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring 3 different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring 3 different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
And we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, and he is the co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin. Woody, this past Monday, we had a very special day, something that's been in the makings. I know you've been working hard for over a year now on this outing. It was Pete's Golf 40th anniversary golf outing.
Tournament.
And but it also had a special charitable endeavor attached to it. It was a, I like to say, if it was, if I had to rate it out of 10, it was an 11. It was a special day, but, you know, just tell us a little bit about the tournament and the charity that goes along with it.
Well, you know, the we're celebrating 40 years in business, mm-hmm. and
it's no small feat, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I suppose, you know, it's pretty cool for us, but, you know, how can we take that and do something really good with it? So, I didn't want to have a outing. I didn't want to have us go play a shamble. Mm-hmm. Golf, real golfers who come in our store, they want to play golf.
And they want to post.
They want to post. So we said, how can we do something here and make it cool and see if we can raise a little bit of money for a really cool charity. Obviously, close to my heart, my wife had a heart transplant. Without an organ donor, she would not be alive today. And that organ donor obviously had to have a horrible tragedy.
Yeah.
As horrible as it could be.
Sure.
So we decided to put this together, and boy, it was a lot of work. I am so proud to tell you that the final total isn't in, but it's over $40,000 raised.
Amazing.
For Live On New York, which is the New York chapter of Donate Life. They procure all the organs. They do all the helping of getting people to be organ donors, to get setting the organs up when they are available. And the coolest thing was doing that was the coolest thing. We got such great reviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wheatley Hills couldn't have done a better job.
The course was phenomenal.
I posted a video of them rolling the greens.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I'm really proud of is that if you know most outings you go, they're 5-6 hours, right?
Yeah.
You were playing your own ball, Stableford scoring system. The longest group took 4 hours and 15 minutes.
Amazing.
We gave away a whole bunch of prizes. The low gross champion was Peter Ganley.
Mm-hmm.
Happens to be a member of Wheatley Hills, a good friend of our, good friend of the stores.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost everyone there was a good friend of the stores.
Of course.
It was a blur for me.
Sure.
I got to Wheatley at 9 o'clock in the morning. I left at 9 o'clock at night. It was over in a second for me.
You mentioned it, and just to reiterate, I know it had to have been extremely gratifying to be able to do something like that. I think, you know, we're not wealthy people to begin with, and I know that one of the things that people talk about is, you know, that are, let's say, extremely wealthy, that part of the real fun is not making the money, but giving it away and being able to help. But just $40,000 is a lot of money for
to
anybody. And I gotta imagine that it's gotta be really, really special and really feel really good to be able to do something like that.
You know, it's interesting. I knew my goal was to try and raise $10,000 for them.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it really till the next day when I'm like looking at the numbers. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. You know, I got a phone call from the CEO of Live On New York, and she was like, I can't believe what you guys did. And, you know, it's a testament to the clients of Pete's Golf, because, you know, we leaned on people. Hey, could you come play in this tournament?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They participated. They played. They had a great time. I mean, not one. I didn't get one negative comment. One of my best friends came in the store. And he goes, "I really wanted to have something that could come in here and, you know, break your chops about." He goes, "But I can't."
No, it was from top to bottom, A to Z, everything. It was a tournament for golfers. It obviously had a very important charitable organization to you and your family, but it was 5 stars.
And by the way, Mr. Anthony Scorsese, we got a chance to play with Matt Dobbins.
Matt Dobbins,
him and John Sherman got Don Henler, who's a friend of the stores, was gracious enough to come and bring Matt Dobbins, who's a friend of our store for as long as he's been on Long Island.
Yeah.
And I, one of the things I said at the dinner was, you know, we get 6 national championships in this room. Matt has 2, and Gene Bartholomew has 4.
Wow,
amazing! Which is pretty cool to have them there playing in, you know, in my our tournament. You know,
yeah,
both of them coming to give their time and
How often does an average person like me get to play with basically, for all intents and purposes, a tour player? And
he is a tour player.
So. I mean, it was amazing. Well, that's it for this week. Woody, it was a great to have you in studio. It was a great event on Monday. Couldn't have been more honored and proud to be a part of it. And it wasn't just friends. It was a tournament of family of Pete's Golf, and that's what I reiterated that night. Thanks for coming in this morning. It was great to have you.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, folks, that's it. We'll catch you next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsese.
Just on the city bed, scooter searching for his groove. Seem like the whole world walking pretty, and you can't find more room to move.
This is your one-stop gospel celebration.